Good morning. Bless you. Thank you for being here. Male and female created he them, part two. Last week we talked a little bit about creation. We read the first three chapters in Genesis. We looked at the fall, and we want to go on from there. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." We see that God's original plan, His first purpose for mankind, was that man would have dominion over the earth. He needed someone to take care of what He had created. I requested that we would sing, "Would You Be Poured Out as Wine Upon the Altar for Me?" this morning. I asked Tom to have that song. We often sing a song while our mind is 20 miles away. Would you? Would you be poured out as wine upon the altar for God this morning? Lord, the thing that You're asking of me right now, or the things You might ask of me this week, my answer will be, what? I think many times we approach the Word of God with the attitude, I'm going to go see what it says, and if it's convenient, I'm more than willing to follow. It reminds me of the time I was building fence for, or I actually never didn't build the fence, but I did a quote for a guy who raised buffalo. And he said, a buffalo, you can build a fence for a buffalo, and you can keep him anywhere he wants to stay. I can convince you of anything you want to believe. And the Word of God can teach me anything that I want to believe. What's hard is when I go to the Word and it shows me things I don't want to believe. We can go to the mirror just to make sure that our face is clean. And we see dirt on our face and we say, oh, it's probably the mirror. And we walk away. Or we can look in the mirror and say, you know what, there's some dirt on my face I need to clean off. We must decide first, we must commit first to doing the will of God, and then go to the Word and ask, Lord, what wouldst Thou have me to do? We have a little bit of review today. I want to look at what we looked at last week. This is a continuation, and we're not going to get anywhere close to finish up with this subject. It's really starting to look bigger to me than I thought. I think this branches out into many, many areas of our life. Number one, we looked at God as Creator has established order. Number two, mankind as created is subject to that order and bound by that order. And number three, when we ignore that order or try to change it, we and the kingdom of God will suffer. We notice that in everything that God created, everything, every aspect of His creation, as it went, it says, and God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And it all went exactly as He desired in every category except mankind. And that didn't surprise Him. That didn't catch Him off guard. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But the thing that was different about man is that man was not programmed in the way that the animals were or in the way that the plants were. Man was given a free will. Man was given a moral conscience, the ability to choose good or evil. the ability to say yes or no to what God had for him. Another thing that was distinct and unique about man was that man was put over things. The deer were not given responsibility. A bear or a fish did not have responsibility. Man was given responsibility. A term for that that I heard is the dominion mandate. Man is to be in dominion over the earth, and always as a representative of God. Man was not given the earth. Man was put in charge of the earth. Man was given dominion over it. Some questions we asked last week. Men, are you taking the rightful place, your rightful place, and by rightful I mean responsibility. This is your responsibility. As the head of your home, fearfully leading it according to your head's, Christ's, desire, and seeking to advance His kingdom. Women, are you taking your rightful place as a helper who is meet for Him in leading, in advancing Christ's kingdom in your sphere of influence? Men and women, are you both willing to be governed by God's commandments and wishes for your life, whether you as an individual or as a husband and wife relationship? Something I've been thinking about lately is this thing of pleasing the Lord. I think sometimes that we think of that as a bad expression, a bad term, because God loves us no matter what. And there is an aspect where the heathen would, okay, let's take Molech, for example. The worshipers of Molech would take and sacrifice their children in the arms of this molten god. Who had fire, he was hollow, he had fire in him, and he had arms that were out. And they'd lay their children on these arms and literally roast them to death in an effort to please Molech. That is not the way we please God. We please God, our desire to please God does not come out of a desire to appease Him or to make Him like us more. Our desire to please God is a desire to realize, I love Him. I want to make Him happy. I want to make Him feel good all over inside. I remember one time I was at Walmart, and I don't remember if I was planning on it when I went in or not, but I saw some flowers, and I got some flowers for my wife. And when I put them on the belt to pay for them, I don't remember if it was the cashier or somebody else there. Somebody said, uh-oh, somebody's in trouble. Why else would you buy your wife flowers? It's just to appease her, was what was being insinuated. And that, I can honestly say, was not the intention. But sometimes we can maybe think of doing things for God as, I'm in trouble if I don't. And that's not at all what I want us to think of. I want us to think of doing things for God because we love Him who first loved us. Because we want to bless Him. We also looked at 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 28. Where in the authority structure God has ordained, even Christ is subject to the will of the Father. Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest, or it is obvious, that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. When God the Father put all things under the feet of Jesus, He did not include Himself in that. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. When Adam and Eve were created, God said, here's the earth, subdue it for My sake. Have dominion over it for My sake. And they rebelled against that. When Jesus came, God said, go to earth, subdue it for my sake. Redeem it for my sake. Conquer death and sin and the grave for my sake. And when that happened, Jesus did not say, okay, now I'm something. Jesus came back to heaven and said, here, Father, I did it for you. And therein lies the difference between us and Jesus. I'd like for us to read Genesis 2, 1 through 9 and 15 through 25 again today. We read it last Sunday, but I want to refresh our minds again. We are going to be doing a lot of review today. And there's part of me that feels like we're not making much new ground. But I guess this is where I felt the Lord has us today. Genesis 2, 1 through 9, and then 15 through 25. This is after God had created everything, and then He goes back and gives us some more details. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now going down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now this is where I'm going to deviate a little bit from what I had originally thought I was going to talk about today. Verse 18 says, it is not good that man shall be alone, should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. I think sometimes you read accounts like this and think that God is making do with what has happened, that he's having to react to our decisions or to what he has done. It feels like here he says, you know what? I've made man and I've made him to take care of the garden, but it's not good that he be alone. Maybe I better, I'll make someone to help him. This week I was building some privacy fence, and I had to build a gate, a couple gates. And I had been thinking ahead how I'm going to do this and whatever. It seemed like every time it's a unique situation. And I decided what kind of hinges, what kind of latch, all this. I decided all this ahead of time. And there were two sections there. So while David was getting old posts torn out of the next section, I was finishing up the first one. putting on a gate or building the gate and so on. Measured, remeasured, figured I was very careful to do it right the first time. Got all done and put the hinges on the post, hung the gate on the hinges, and a gate that was supposed to open out would only open in. Privacy fence doesn't have gaps. So when you have flat to flat already, you can't just force that. It has to come the other way. Well, I made do. And I actually was able to, I told David, I said, I wonder if sometimes God doesn't just do things to help us realize just how unsmart we are sometimes. Just help us to realize how fallible we are. But I was able to make it work, able to make do. God is not like that. If we look at verse 26 in chapter 1, this is what God says to start with. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Eve was not a reaction to a shortcoming. Eve was in the plan from the start. God never has to react to a situation. And I think a lot of us this morning, face days when we think, you know what, this is hopeless. I've messed it up bad. Or someone else has messed it up bad. And while I know that we can go contrary to God's will and really make a mess of things, I also know that nothing catches God by surprise. A good coach or a good manager, being a lot of different things, not only plans for what's supposed to happen, he also plans for what might happen. God doesn't plan for what might happen. God knows what will happen. Look at Isaiah 46. I hope that's not too small. I wanted to get it all on one screen for you. Isaiah 46, 1 through 13. There's times when God, you can just hear the disdain in His voice when He talks about other gods that we set up or that the people set up. Bel, that's Baal, boweth down. Nebo, and I looked that up, it seems to be another deity, but I wasn't quite sure to tell exactly what that's talking about. Another false god. So Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. You have all these gods you're carrying along. Your animals can hardly haul them. They stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves were gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. I carry you. You have to carry these false gods. I carry you. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs or white hairs, gray hairs, will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal? And compare me that we may be like. And then he says, this is how you get your gods. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. They make a false god. They have to carry it on their shoulder and take him home. And they set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. There's another cross-reference, and I didn't write it down. I think it was in Jeremiah, where he talks about how you bring the gods home, and you have to nail them in place, so that they'll stand there. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. I'd like for us to notice the contrast between God's design and desire for our lives and what sin has done to us. We were put here to have dominion over the earth as representatives of God. What we are so often faced with is a temptation and desire to make it our earth, our domain, our kingdom. And I think that maybe that's the hardest thing to remember in the Christian life, and in the idea of being a steward of God, is that it truly is not mine. It's not yours. It's God's. And everything we do, we are to do to the glory of God. If I have a dollar in my pocket, is that mine or is it God's? What if it's only half a dollar? What if it's $1,000? It's God's. It's up to Him what I should be doing what I'm doing as a representative of God. One of the hardest prayers to pray is, Thy kingdom come. And yet it is the only way that we can be in communion and fellowship with God. I guess I feel like I covered some distance last week, and now I'm backing up and going over it again. When Adam and Eve sinned, they immediately realized that there was a break in fellowship with God. I thought about that this morning. I don't know if Adam really thought he could hide from God, because there weren't any other people. There wasn't anyone else to hide from. And yet he went and hid. I don't know if he really didn't realize that God was all-knowing and all-seeing, or how that was. But they went and hid themselves. They were ashamed. While God usually would come and walk and talk with them in the cool of the day and have sweet fellowship, sweet communion, this time they went and hid. I guess what I would like for you to realize today is that God desires fellowship with you. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how bad you've messed it up. He desires fellowship with you, but it must be on His terms. And there's part of us that says, well, that's just not right. Why is God so demanding? If God is love, then why do I have to do it His way? And that is exactly what Satan brought to Eve. He doesn't really want what's best for you. Has God really said? He just knows that you're going to have more fun if you do it your way. And He doesn't want you to do that. He knows you're going to be better off, so He doesn't want you to know this. That was the lie that Satan gave to Eve. Again, I ask, are you ready? Will you be poured out as wine upon the altar? Are you really at the end of yourself and your desires and your kingdom, your passion for yourself. Another thing that I think we're tempted to do too often is to try harder, to try to change our own mind. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is where Nicodemus was asking for explanations on how the kingdom of God works and what Jesus was doing. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The five senses, our mind, whatever we want to say, cannot take the things of God and make sense of them and apply them to our lives. We must be born again. And God give us a new heart and new eyes to see. Can you see the kingdom of God? Do the things of God make sense to you? Can you feel the change? And I don't want to make this all about emotions, but can you look back and say, you know what? This makes more sense to me than it did before. I see the things of God as having a strange new appeal that they didn't used to have. And again, it's not that I'm going to try harder. God wants to change you. He says in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I want us to notice a couple of these words. Received. How much does it cost to receive something? Or how hard is it to receive something? When we receive something, that is something that is simply accepted. We receive Christ as Lord. And then we see, some phrases I wrote down that receive is not. It's not go out and earn. It's not go understand and make sense of. And it's not go figure out on your own. None of those are what receive is. Receive is to simply accept. Trust. I also ask that we sing Trust and Obey this morning, because there is the real hang-up. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What did Satan convince Eve? What did he convince her? What made her willing to take the fruit? God does not have my best interests at heart. That was the lie she believed. That was the lie that made the fruit appealing. There was fruit everywhere. Every tree she was allowed to eat of, except that one fruit. And Satan convinced her, this one thing is what you need to be happy. Trust. Can we trust and obey? And if we do that, He gives the power. To those who received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We don't have to do this on our own, and we can't do it on our own. We'll never do it on our own. Rather than try harder, we need to give up. It's just a simple point of coming to a point where we trust God and say, okay, I believe You. We all know if we believe the creation account, if we believe the story of the Garden of Eden, we know Adam and Eve would have been far happier had they trusted God. We know that. And yet somehow we find ourselves struggling to believe the same thing where God says, you'll be happy, you'll be fulfilled, you'll be where you should be if you'll just trust Me. I often say it's better to learn from other people's mistakes. I tell young people, look around you. Talk to people who are a little older than you. Learn from mistakes. That's why you read books. You get free experience that others have had without having to learn the hard way. Adam and Eve would have been far happier. Let's learn from their mistake. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's going to be, looks like, 4 weeks before I preach again. But Lord willing, and I thought I was going to get further than I did this week, we're going to be looking at the creation order. An interesting part of that is that when man was created, the creation order was God, man, woman. That did not come about as the fall, as part of the fall. Now in the fall, when God pronounced judgment, he did say to Eve, "And he will rule over you." Made it a little more of a stronger statement. But she was created to be a helper for him. They were to rule the earth together. So it's not that they were... Adam was the head to start with. That's not part of the curse. But it was God, man, woman. And yet when we get to 1 Corinthians 11, it says, the head of man is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. Man sinned and severed that relationship. And again, it would look like maybe God had to redo things and make it work. He needed to send a Redeemer. He had planned that before the foundations of the world. And now it is God the Father, the God-man, Christ Jesus, man and woman. We have a mediator. A wonderful plan of redemption. Thank you for your time. Stand for prayer. Please stand for prayer. Lord, I thank you for the plan of salvation. I thank you, Lord, for your redemptive power, for your ability to have planned in advance how to correct and redeem and make new all the things that we so often mess up. I pray, Lord, that you would give each one of us a real vision for your kingdom, a real vision, a real desire to be part of that kingdom and to just realize that we are to be about your work, that we are to be building your kingdom, that it's not about us. Speak to each one of us where we're at. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.